The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the 5 o'clock happier happy hour. Now, Dom, I noted this Thursday, if you were unaware, I did have to look at my notes Thursday. It says Thursday on my tablet. So
it must be Thursday. So we're
I feel relatively confident. And we got a fine guest a little bit later. It's also scribbled on my tablet. Dr. Tim Slacker, our good friend from the Busted Pencils, where his fine lead-in. He comes on at 6 o'clock on the Civic Media Network. So stick around for Dr. Tim Slacker. Damn it, I didn't scribble down what I wanted to talk about here. Oh, I can tell you. I recall.
Okay.
Ann Walsh Bradley made her announcement earlier today, retiring.
Wisconsin State Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley.
Correct. As I would like to call her, the good Bradley.
The good Bradley, yes.
And this was troubling news, and I blame Rich, who will lightly screen your call, but since Rich flagged it first, since he found this bad news, it's attributable to Rich. I blame Rich. I see this as bad news because I thought this would be an easy re-election for Ann Walsh Bradley. To her own statement today, Dom, she thought she'd easily win re-election. If I'm running, I win. Something like that. I paraphrase Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, the good Bradley. Because my bright idea, Dom, was, you know, we would hold serve, we would hold the court, and maybe, you know, and I so clearly was just dreaming here, Dom, we would maybe the following year go take out the bad Bradley, and we would have a two-seat advantage on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But, Dom, that's too much to hope for. We just came through the Protasewicz in April of 23, about a year ago at this time, and when that race went down the pike, Dom, $50 million spent. And it wasn't even competitive in light of the Dobbs decision and women showing outrage. I think many Wisconsin voters showing outrage. And these courts, they've certainly been politicized. Janet Protasewicz tells us, Justice Protasewicz now tells us, any case where the Democratic Party is the litigant, state Democratic Party, well, I will recuse. Because she received like $10 million from them. Now, the loser, multiple-time loser, Dan Kelly, also received aid and financing from the Republican Party, but his question of recusal, you know, academic, in that he lost twice. But Brad Schimming, the Schimmel, Brian Schimming, the GOP chairman, I did reach out to Chairman Schimming to see if he wanted to appear on this fine radio show.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. We'll see if he responds. It's an open invite.
You know, he's an old radio dog. I'd be surprised that if he'd turn us down, Michael.
I think there's a chance he could say yes. But Brad Schimmel, the former attorney general, and then he was appointed to the court, I believe, by Wanker in Waukesha County. I think he won re-election subsequently. But he is a district court judge, and he was out there early, Dom. He's out there. He's in it to try to win it. And never been very impressed by the man, legally, personally, or otherwise. Not a man of any great intelligence, to my opinion. But this is a major loss. Incumbents win like 80% of the time or more. And now we got a coin flip race. And there's only one saving grace, Dom. One saving grace. Chris Taylor. Chris Taylor will be our saving grace. I'm praying, Chris, please heed Chris, my prayers.
Please. Please. God, Chris.
Now, she has expressed to both me and the Journal Sentinel that she was very interested, although could not make a full commitment without speaking to her family. But of course, this breaking news, very appealing to Chris Taylor. And we know that she has been on this course for the decade or more we've known her. Chris Taylor, state legislature, served in the assembly. Then Chris Taylor became an appointee to the district court. And I point out, she has the perfect resume to run for this job, Dom. She served in the district court level. That's the trial court level. And then won election to the appellate court level and has served with some distinction on both levels, I think. And she was an elected state lawmaker, so she is aware of how to run a elective race. So if there is a perfect candidate for the left, if there is a successor, a baton to be passed, please let it be passed to Chris Taylor. Although I've already had a few supportive listeners. Susan Crawford has... We've been encouraged to reach out. She has expressed a willingness, perhaps, to also throw her hat in the ring. Now, in light of this newest news, she's a Dane County district judge, I believe, and others being bantered about. But, you know, in terms of friends of the show, people we know well.
Like, who do we know? We know Chris long time.
We've been asking. I've been waiting for Chris to run for governor or attorney general or perhaps the Wisconsin Supreme Court for a long time, Dom. She has been a rising star. And now is your time, Chris Taylor. And while I would have loved to seen us keep that powder dry and maybe give Chris one more year to be a parent.
One more cycle. Yeah. Yeah.
And to, you know, continue to serve in her current appellate judge role. Now is your turn, Chris. Wisconsin is knocking. Please answer.
Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. She will turn 74 years old in July.
Young whippersnapper compared to these presidential candidates.
Yeah, compared to the two oldest dudes who've ever run for the presidency back to back. You know, what, 10-year terms, man. You know what I mean? And it's not going to be another year before that. I mean, I appreciate her service, totally understand if she decides that this is not something she's going to want to do. Thank you, Ann Walsh Bradley.
Well, she does feel confident she would win re-election, as do I. It's unfortunate just from that perspective. Certainly we want Justice Bradley, the good one, to have a long life and, you know, plenty of time to go enjoy grandkids or whatever it is that next for her. Maybe she's going into private practice. Maybe talk radio. Who knows?
I mean,
we could probably find room for her here at Civic Media, I suspect. But Chris Taylor would be a great next, I would hope. But if it's not Chris Taylor, I don't know who that candidate is yet. And amongst the Republicans that could run, I think that Schimmel is probably the most well-known because he won statewide office once prior. He served as the attorney general. He does have that on his resume. He has been a district court judge, and he served in the DA's office. So that's a pretty damn good resume, too, from, you know, the righty's point of view. If you don't actually speak to the man, he doesn't have to do any politicking. So I think Chris Taylor will hopefully be the candidate.
But he's, you know, I mean, and Brad Schimmel is Brad Schimmel. Some of the things he said back when he was attorney general. Was there a question about enforcing interracial marriage? Was that one of the ones he failed so miserably on? I gotta go.
He had a fundraiser in Fond du Lac. He did tell, I believe, the community
Oshkosh
television.
Oshkosh
Community Television, when interviewed, that yes, because he is the attorney general, if the law in the books was that interracial marriage was banned, after a deep sigh, said, well, you know, I would feel obligated to enforce that law. Nah, I got to go because I got a fundraiser in Sheboygan. When he first appeared on Vicki McKenna's show, your girl, She encouraged others to join the race because she found him unsatisfying as a candidate. Guy didn't know his own website, didn't have any policy positions. And really, if Republicans had put anyone else out there, I think they would have had a good chance of beating Schimmel. But that was what, another one of the wanker terms. 2014, I believe, he won that race. And J.B. Van Hollen, I didn't have a big issue with. I mean, he was Republican, but all things considered, I think he got out honorably before he was too besmirched by the Walker stink.
Yeah.
But not this guy. He's all stanked up. Well, that's just one man's opinion. You have one, 844-967-2789. I've never seen a day when Dom did not have strongly held incorrect opinions. But what about you? Tom from McFarland, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tom.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Crudy.
Yes,
I'm going to have to tell you one of my favorite quotes from Mark Twain. I think it's apropos to the situation. My life has been filled with misfortune and disaster, most of which haven't happened yet. And just the way that you're catastrophizing what's going to be happening, as if it did happen, you know, take a step, breathe. Remember that the judge can just as easily order the jury. You know, if let's say that we have your one rando juror.
Yes, sir.
Just, nope, nope, nope. The judge can just as easily tell the jury, I don't care if we're here until the next time the full eclipse happens. We're not going anywhere until we have unanimous consent. Remember that if he's a Trump supporter, he's easily manipulated and easily led. So the other 11 jurors will have no problem with getting him to their side.
Tom, you clearly have never met my friend CJ from Stoughton. I mean, even Dominic. I mean, most humans are obstinate human beings once they make up their mind, Tom.
Tom, I love your point, man. Yes. Hey, good luck, everybody. You got to stick around till we're unanimous on this. Thanks for the call, Tom. Mark Twain, a modern day Mark Twain, perhaps, Tom. Tom Petty, what do you say? Most things I worry about never happen anyway.
The rumors of OJ's demise have been exaggerated. No, OJ's dead. That's my understanding.
He's dead.
I've seen it from multiple sources, but who's verified it? Alan Dershowitz, I saw today, he was saying, you know, first and foremost, his initial thought, OJ was guilty. And secondly, he advised OJ, don't write that damn book.
If I did it.
Come back. We'll take your calls. 844-967-2789.
I used to run through airports. Now I fly through them. With new Hertz number one express service, I fly nonstop from my plane to my car. Without stopping at the counter. If you ask for number one express when you make your reservation, your Ford or other fine car and contract will be waiting at the number one express booth. Once again, Hertz puts you in the driver's seat faster than anybody else.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. And then at the bottom of the hour, our friend Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencil is going to join us, talk some education here in Wisconsin.
Wait. We've got an early conspiracy theory on the cause of OJ's death. Alex Jones, I will eat your ass, buddy. I'd hate to be his neighbor, knowing that guy's eyeballing my ass for future consumption.
Well, you got a flat ass, Crudy. He might eyeball a belly. Maybe some pork belly, but, you know, stay away from the rump roast. You know what I'm saying?
You are getting on my last nerve today. Alex Jones blames OJ's death on a completely made up conspiracy theory. Says you completely made up. In the wake of OJ Simpson's death from prostate cancer, Alex Jones Thursday suggested it was the COVID-19 vaccine that was to blame, referencing a conspiracy theory of which there is no evidence. Jones on the Twitter posted on the subject, including a video released during the pandemic that shows OJ endorsing the COVID-19 vaccine. Who's getting shot because OJ said get the vaccine? Right. He encouraged people to get your shots. Watch O.J. Simpson demand you get your COVID shots, Jones wrote in the post caption. Turbo cancers are off the charts, and we warned you. Adding commentary to the video was InfoWars host Owen Schroyer, who said, today O.J. Simpson dies after a battle with cancer. And of course, you have to assume that he took the vaccine. Now, as I drove down here to the fine WMDX studios, State Street, Madison, I was listening to the inferior lefty, or pardon me, let me restate that, Brady Whitey product down the dial here in Madison, Vicky, your girl, and she had Ron Johnson on. And they didn't
Senator Ron Johnson
draw a straight correlation between the death of OJ and the vaccines, although maybe that happened before I tuned him in. But they were clearly making the claim on the FCC regulated airwaves that the vaccine killed hundreds of thousands of Americans. And your real good stuff was the ivermectin. And why didn't we get more of the ivermectin? And I found myself thinking, you know, holy cow, he's still doing it. And he is claiming, and I believe that there have been some related issues with vaccines. I mean, a billion plus people took this vaccine, but the whole world was under a pandemic. You know, this whole logic of the right, this anti-vaccine logic, this conspiracy theorism. And Ron said, you know, and here was, I got to tell you, for one moment, Ron made sense in this regard, talking about the vaccine. He said, you would not believe how the pharmaceutical industries control the regulation of the pharmaceutical industries. They own this industry. And big pharma is corrupting. I'm thinking, so is a lot of big business, Ron. You don't seem to have a problem with it when you're the only distributor of plastics to PacCorp, right? You know, if you own the marketplace, that's just fine. That happens a lot in American industry, Ron. But in this particular case, he lost me almost immediately because he pivoted to saying, and we can prove all of this, and it's all known, and Fauci's been covering for it. And I heard on one of the right-wing talk radio shows, the Clay and Buck show, Clay was advocating, you know, here's what I want to know. If Trump is elected, will he put an AG in place that'll prosecute Fauci? That's the question we should be asking ourselves. An ophthalmologist turned senator from Kentucky, Rand Paul, responded, well, I can't make him do it, but if they ask for my advice, I got some people I could recommend to them. You know, always great to get a lawyerly recommendation from your local ophthalmologist. You know, I got to tell you, I suspect I know how Rand Paul's neighbor must have felt.
844-967.
Because I feel that way towards you sometimes.
Yeah, well, you know,
give me the Rand Paul treatment, the full vaccination.
On these things. I mean, you can listen to Fauci, you can listen to Trump, who said, can we, you know, inject bleach? You know what I'm saying? Can we get some sun on the inside? We're gonna look very strongly into that. You know, it's been, you know, it's a four-year anniversary, right? So there's been things on social medias over the last several weeks of you know, kind of reminding me. And it's weird, you know, how the human mind works. Some of that stuff's kind of blocked out. And I've watched some of these press conferences with Trump again. And it's just, I was beside myself. The guy's just an idiot. I don't know how else to say it. He's not smart. He's a dunce. He's a dullard. I don't know what you want to say. And then he's looking at I forget the lady's name and Fauci and
the scarf out, hey, lady. I forget her name.
We're going to try this. We're going to do this. And I get you want to try to maybe, you know, project a level of strength and knowledge. But you're faking it, Trump. You're faking it then. You're faking it now. And you know, you're going to turn on Fauci for what crime exactly? I guess it doesn't matter because it's lawfare these days.
844-967-2789. Wisco Paul, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. Great show today. Hey, I think it was smart for Bradley to step aside. You're 74. It's time to leave and enjoy
Says
life.
You. Now, well, if she wants to go enjoy life, she has the right to retirement, Paul. Don't mishear me.
Correct.
But I would prefer if she'd have, let's say, stayed on and then retired, and Tony Evers could have done a judicial appointment for the next 9.5 years, let's say.
Well, I didn't even know that was available.
How do you think Dan Kelly made it onto the Supreme Court? He didn't ever get elected to it.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, you know, when is that election? That'll be
April of 25. 25.
Oh, April of 25. Wow.
Yeah, we're going to turn around. As soon as we decide whether or not democracy will hold in the fall, we'll have to turn and see if democracy will hold in Wisconsin, because it all swings with the balance of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Paul. And we'll be telling you it'll be the most important spring election of your life.
And we'll be right.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think the electorate has changed in the state a little bit, although the thing that does scare me is Johnson won re-election, but that's a spooky thing. But I think Taylor's from Dane County, right?
Yes. She was the
pretty good.
Yeah, she's well regarded in her district, Paul, when she was in the assembly. And this has been some time ago, but to my memory, Chris Taylor got more individual votes than any other assembly representative in the state of Wisconsin. She comes from very liberal Madison, and they love her here, Paul. And I would say if she was on the ballot, she would have instant recognition in Dane County. And in so many ways, these statewide elections, especially the spring one, look at the Protasewicz outcomes. It turned on Dane County in a big way. And I can tell you, the young kids came out for Protasewicz, and I don't know what wouldn't be to love about Chris Taylor. Maybe we'll have other great candidates in addition, but as long as I got Chris Taylor, I'm happy. Come back with us. We got to find guest Dr. Tim Slecker. As long as you got the Devil's Advocates, be happy. Not catastrophic like Crudy.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, we've been joined by a fine guest. He is Dr. Tim Slecker. Yes. Yes, we called you a fine guest, Tim.
Like, where is he?
He's a friend of ours and educator of some renown and the host of the Busted Pencil Show that comes on like in 25 minutes. So stick around for that. But welcome back, Tim. How you been, man?
Thanks, Dom. Hey, well, pretty great, Dom. What's happening, man? You know, yeah, it's living the dream here in Ohio.
Tim, before we talk about this article at the Journal Sentinel that caught my attention and yours, and it's about teachers and the crisis that this profession is facing. But so much of it stems from Scott Walker and the policies of Act 10. And as a side note, for some reason, Scott Walker comes up with some constancy in my Facebook posts. Like, he comes on my stream, like, about every third time I go onto Facebook, he's the first posting. Maybe it's because, you know, he's out there putting up Bible verses all day long. But Wanker, as I like to call him, was up at the University of Wisconsin Eau Claire yesterday. And he proudly put up a photo of the full house he had drawn for the speech he gave to the young Republicans there. And this was a Young Adolphs Foundation sponsored event.
Young America's.
Oh, Foundation. My bad.
Yeah.
Yes. The Young Americans. I always get that wrong. But the room, as he put up the picture from the back of the room, I noticed almost the entire room had these terrible cabinet and injuries. This room was full of bald guys. And I don't mean like of the young, you know, Alex Walker sort. I'm talking about this room. The youngest guy in the room would have been me. And he's claiming these are the young Republicans, the next generation of young Republicans. I'm thinking, you know, these people are literally the Eric Hudvey definition of those that could die in five to six months. I think he cleaned out the nursing homes to bring the crowd. That was my point, Tom.
I thought you were gonna making fun of what's under my hat, which is nothing. Until you thought there was a bald guy joke.
I'm bald also, Tim. I wouldn't make fun of you, but the fact
I'm like,
that
no,
he's you know, that, go ahead.
Do you remember the movie Death Race 2000?
Oh yeah, oh, yeah. David Carradine. Yeah, that's how that drives.
Yeah, well, it sounds like, you know, like that, you know, they went to the nursing home, wheeled them all out, put them in front of Walker there, you know, and then sadly, it is, though. Yeah, young Republicans. Interesting, though. So the UW Eau Claire campus, then it's like, so where are the truly young Republicans then? Not there.
Not in that room.
40 or 50 people in that room, and probably at least half of them are older than all of us.
Yes.
Well, you know, I mean, maybe Eau Claire has some kind of back to school program for the elderly or something. And
it's never too late to get your education, Tim. Right.
I don't know. I mean, Well, you know what? Maybe is that a promising sign then?
Yes, because I don't want Scott Walker indoctrinating our youth, as he would accuse people like you, educator, Tim Slecker, of being.
Should he be on a college campus without actually ever, he hasn't really ever completed his degree yet, has he?
He has a significant list of jobs that he is not qualified to do, and no one would ever hire him for. He enumerated them from a presidential debate stage once, but no, my understanding is he dropped out apparently in good standing with a GPA just under 2.7.
Nice. Well, I mean, you know, it's never too late for Scott Walker either to come back and try to enroll in school. Mike, the article though in the Journal Sentinel, yeah, you know what? It in one way, I was telling Mike back there, it's not new news, right? Yeah. The fact though that it continues to be the news, the conditions in which educators find themselves. The first though stunning fact, right, is that 10 years now after Act 10, the real wages of teachers have declined at, what is it, 19% was in the article.
Total
there?
Compensation at 19% when you include their insurance or benefits programs.
13% real wages. But of course, real. Act 10 made the teachers, you know, contribute more to their health insurance, which is included in their compensation package.
But it's total compensation. And people, you know, to think about that and you say, so teachers, and you know, they didn't get into it for the money anyway. Well, we need to stop that whole thing, though. I mean, people get into it to make a living. You know, it's just like for some reason, for you know, we can't ever talk about really the wages of teachers because for some reason, you know, they got into it. They knew they weren't going to make money. They knew they were going to be poor, and they should just be happy to be standing in front of our children. Because they're not really, they never got into it for the compensation, but that's not the real reason though. I mean, the only reason you've got a problem, what you see in Wisconsin, and we say it's a mirror of what's happening everywhere. You have a teacher exodus. I've been saying this for now, as long as Walker's been there, is that we don't have a shortage of teachers. We have a leaving problem, which is we can't keep teachers in the classroom long enough. And the ones that are going into teaching, they don't stay in it that long. One promising kind of, you know, nugget of information in that article, though, was enrollment in teacher preparation programs seems like it's on the upward swing. I would put that, though, in a real quality to look at and say, however, what is the enrollment over the past 15 years, because if it went up a little bit in the past 2 to 3 years, my guess is though it hasn't recovered from the 40% drop of which it was 10 years ago at this
still
time.
Still hasn't hit that watermark.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, so because we hear that all the time. It's like, well, you know, the enrollment's increasing. It's like, yeah, but we lost 40% of teacher education enrollment over the past 10 years. So if it increased 5%, that's not a gain. And then you throw into this the statistics of saying, look, they don't, you know, 60%, Mike, I think it was in there, and Dom, 60% of the teachers are out of the classroom within 6 years anyway. That is not a profession where you can do any type of real substantial gains. And so when it comes to with children particularly, right, churn is the absolute enemy of learning. And when you're what you're saying is that, you know, most students then will have their teachers on some form of a rotational basis during the time that they're in school. Nothing is, you know, that's a horrible way to set up learning for kids to go, gee, I wonder who's going to be here today. I wonder who's going to teach me today. The reality is that so many of kids are dealing with, in one sense, that kind of churn in their lives. They're supposed to be looking to public schools as that place of steady, calm, things that are supposed to be predictable. Well, if what's predictable is that the churn I live with it at home is going to be the churn that I'm getting when I come to classrooms, this is not a good situation for anybody. I will say, though, it's a great situation if this is what you planned on. If you planned on this to be the outcome, teachers leaving the public schools, a decimation of your public school system, and the potential now that you're putting in an unlimited voucher plan. And guess what? Who would have thought that planning the destruction of teachers in public education 30 years ago would result in the destruction of public education? Who would have guessed?
Folks, our fine guest, Dr. Tim Slecker. He's an education professional. He's the host of the Busted Pencil Show immediately after the greatest lead-in ever. Tim, we appreciate you coming around. I want to throw out the real math. 21-22 school year, the median salary for Wisconsin teachers was $57,279. Total compensation with, you know, insurance, et cetera, $81,566. Now, in 10 years ago, or 14 years ago now, 2010, the average teacher made $66,000 and had about $100,000 when adjusted for inflation and total compensation, insurance, et cetera. Somewhere a couple of years ago, Tim, being a teacher started paying less than other college-educated requiring jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to be trained professionals, but you want to pay them worse than the quote-unquote private sector would pay them. Why would anyone want to be a teacher and undervalue their worth, Tim?
Well, that's what he said, right? It's who would want to do this work? Let's be careful though, too. Great people are the ones who do want to do this work. Yep. The reality though of attracting them, you're putting then forward what you're saying is that who of those great people, who's going to make the financial sacrifice to be a teacher? That's such a horrible thing to say. Guess what? Our best people who we want in front of our children who spent, you know, lots of money to get a college degree to become a professional, we want them to make a financial sacrifice. It's not the best recruiting tool you want when you want to have the best people in front of your children, in front of the communities, leading the public schools, again, which is where 90%+ of the students in the communities of which everybody's listening are public school students, and this is where the teachers. Why would anybody set in motion a profession that has the most importance on the future of kids and communities? We've set in a decimation of which, Mike, you're pointing out, going, they actually make less money than they made 14 years ago. It's like, what kind of recruiting tool is that?
Tim, also, the demographics of teachers in the state of Wisconsin, 95% white, 76% female. And as this report notes, that's not ideal. Actually, those black students that see even one black teacher have like a 13% higher graduation rate.
Right.
So it would be great if some of the teachers reflected the demographics of the state, because we ain't 95% white here. But Tim, I mean, they're trying to retain whoever they can. And as you mentioned, the new teachers, a lot of them leave in 6 years. Let's speak to the testing aspect. How difficult is it to become a teacher? I got a buddy who came into Mass Comm because he couldn't pass the PPSTs, I thought he called them.
Yeah, at that time. I mean, so what are the hurdles to becoming a teacher? Well, the first one is financially that you have to pay tuition to then go to school to get a four-year degree, which is something I think we really want. We want our teachers to have, you know, professional degrees, and so we want that to go. But then there are requirements of state testing. In Wisconsin, one of the biggest hurdles is the foundations of reading test, of which, you know, I think the first time pass rate of people taking that is about 50%. Now, I could hear a critic saying, well, that's good then. This test is keeping the bad and the dumb teachers out. Well, we have to look at what this test actually does. It have any predictability of great teaching? And the research on those who pass the FORT and those who don't pass the FORT and those who become teachers, there's no indicator that that students of those who pass the FORT. And guess what? Because there are loopholes in other ways around, because we can give people emergency licenses, there are lots of people who haven't passed the FORT. Guess what? Those who have passed and those who haven't, the indicators from the students that have those teachers is that they do no better or no worse. So you'd have to ask the question of going, so what purpose does this test serve? It keeps people out of the profession. It is another deterrent then of wanting great teachers, because there are lots of great teachers who haven't been able to pass the foundations of reading test, but they're not allowed in a classroom right now. But at the same time, though, we have lots of alternative ways for people without licenses and credentials to get in front of your students. That's another problem.
Especially if they go to a charter school or a voucher school.
Well, you know, and we don't want to ask questions about what's happening in charter and voucher schools. We're not allowed to know because, you know, wait. Public money goes to fund those schools, though. And I thought when we used public money, we were supposed to have some form of transparency when public monies were used. Because in the public schools, everything has to be out in the open. Vouchers and charter schools, though, they seem to not really want us to be looking at, you know, what are the qualifications for the people that teach students there. Hey, things are better off, though. I don't know. Mike, it's a great point, though, right? Is that
they have excellent lobbyist Tim Slecker. They have excellent lobbyist. Dr. Tim Slecker. His program comes on in 15 minutes. Busted Pencils. Him and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Educated Educators Talking Education at 6:06. But Devils, we're coming back right now with your phone calls. 844-96-PARTY. Be happy. Join the Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the lines, 844-967-2789.
Thank you to our most recent guest, Dr. Tim Slecker, Busted Pencils, Educated Educators Talking Education. He is joined by Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. They do a fine show. And it comes up next. You're going to want to stick around for that. But Dom, I got one other fine submission for your consideration from the lovely Mrs. Crudy. Apparently heard the education theme and shared this one. I had not seen, but Wisconsin Public Radio reporting a Wisconsin public school board listed Christian values among the desires for the next superintendent. Let me read on. It gets better, Don. And I got a friend living in Schmingy land that's about to lose his mind. School board members in Sheboygan County District listed Christian values and conservative politics as desired characteristics in the posting for the superintendent position at the public school. The original post from the Cedar Grove, Belgium School District job was amended after potential candidates, you know, let's just say raised questions, Dom. And retired St. Francis Superintendent Carol Topinka became aware of the posting on Tuesday when a friend applying for the job brought it to her attention. She immediately emailed Mike Ritchie with Hazard Young Attia and Associates, the Arlington Heights, Illinois-based firm was hired by the district to lead the search.
Oh,
help me understand how a public school district can legally limit its hiring to people who are Christians. My mentee is not a Christian. It's frankly gobsmacked that a public school district can blatantly and prejudiciously flout the law. Richie responded within a half hour. Thanks for your email. That was a comment made during the focus groups, and you are correct. That should not have been in the report. You put it in the job posting, man. It will be removed. Thanks. Now, Wisconsin Public Radio contacted Richie, his partner Scott Wench, and Cedar Grove, Belgium School Board President Chad Hoopman for comments. In an email to WPR, Hoopman said, as part of the process of hiring the superintendent, focus groups met, and any characteristic mentioned by any participant in attendance is recorded and appears on the list of traits that particular focus groups for complete transparency to any potential candidates to review. That sounds sketch. Anyways, Hoopman said there was a disclaimer made, you know, like Trump's taxes, a disclaimer made that comments should be considered personal opinions of the individuals making the comments regarding the Cedar Grove, Belgium school district. Well, that clears you of everything then. Hoopman told WPR he realizes publicly listing Christian as a desirable characteristic by school board members would give candidates the impression they would not be considered if they were not that religion. You think?
Yeah, wow, really? You think having that on the job description would be something that they would want for the job?
That is why the search firm chose to remove that comment. Hoopman said there was no recordings of the focus groups. Oh,
of course.
Damn. WPR has also filed an open records request for all correspondence related to the superintendent search. And the posting lips list hopes from school board community teachers. Hazard Young Attia and Associates held 12 focus groups with student teachers and community members and school board members and put together a leadership profile report. The original report released March 13th included a section of desired characteristics of the next Cedar Grove, Belgium superintendent is identified by the school board. By the school board. One of the points listed was must match the makeup of our community, conservatives, Christian values. Making religious beliefs a desired job characteristic, Dom, is illegal, according to Ryan Cox, legal director with the ACLU of Wisconsin.
Well, it's only illegal if it's, you know, public dollars going towards public schools. If those very same public dollars are diverted from those public schools to fund an unkept mandate for private religious indoctrination schools, well, those folks can absolutely discriminate based on religion. So it's only illegal in the public sector.
Dom, there's more. There's more. This first round, this search on Monday, the Cedar Grove, Belgium School District announced there was a shift in the timeline in its superintendent search. The search was reopened by Hazard Young Attia and Associates, and according to a Facebook post from the Ozaki Press, the first round of candidates, Dom, didn't closely enough match the profile determined by the district. Thus, Monday's meeting to meet the finalists has been canceled. No one's properly conservative or Christian enough for him, apparently, Dom.
What was white and male and middle age also in there?
I didn't see expressly.
Okay.
Now, the Cedar Grove, Belgium School District is located in the southernmost portion of Sheboygan County, Dare Hay, and the district serves about 900 students, 83% of which are white, 12% Hispanic. According to state report cards, the district significantly exceeds expectations, a high-performing district. Topinka said her colleague was excited about the possibility of working in the district, but when she saw the listing, she decided not to apply for the position because she's not Christian. I can't imagine why the board generated these characteristics if that is not the type of superintendent they're looking for. It's troubling from my perspective, the former superintendent said.
Wow. Well, I would just like to point
out. Thank you, Mrs. Crudy, for flagging that one for us.
If you're a Satan worshiper, you are a Christian. So apparently they would like your application at that position for superintendent.
Do you have to just believe in the Christianity? I mean, you know, like as a faith, I believe in the Christianity. And by your logic, even if you believe in the devil, you believe in Christianity, you know, logically, A plus B must equal C.
Yes.
Does one have to be faithful, Dom? Like, I believe there are Christians. Yeah. Or some that claim to be.
I was going to say, are there real Christians? I guess that, you know, depends on what you describe as a real Christian.
We might have to share this one with Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci as well. They might want to keep this conversation going over on the Busted Pencils. Why wouldn't they? They got the greatest lead in ever. Thank you to all our fine guests. I know I had another one. I got to think really hard. Did I write it down? Oh, yeah. Robert Pilot.
Today,
Robert Pilot. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, the Robert. Line 5 conversation with our friends, Native Roots Radio. I'm awake. You know, he just wrapped up his show, but you can hear it tonight on Civic Media at 9. Keep it locked all night long.